I'm going to read Galatians 4 and verse 5, but if y'all want to turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11, because we'll be spending a little more time right there. But I'm going to read Galatians 4 and verse 5. And again, we're looking at the subject tonight of adoption. Galatians 4 and verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house once again on this Lord's Day. And as your word is opened, I ask you, Lord, to lead and guide. I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. You know, Lord, where we all are tonight, just ask you to meet us where we are. And again, I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. And I'll just thank you and praise you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11, we'll get there in a little bit, but tonight I would like us to consider adoption. I've been thinking about what adoption means. And if you've been born again, then you have been adopted into the family of God. And make no mistake about it, there is one human race. We are all of one blood. And of that human race, there are only two families. You have the family of Satan, and then you have the family of God. And tonight I want to focus on the differences in families. We aren't going to look at where the family of God will ultimately end up, which is heaven, or where the family of Satan will ultimately end up, which is hell, to then be cast into everlasting torment, into the lake of fire. But I want to draw a contrast to these two families. Because I tell you, it was no and is no small thing when by adoption, God picked us up out of the family of Satan and adopted us into his family to make us joint heirs with Jesus. If we take a moment to truly be reminded of what God removed us from, we'll be even more thankful for not only the adoption of our souls, but the adoption of our lives here on this earth. So we're going to look at the definition of adoption, and then we're going to highlight some things as we look at the definition. But the word adoption means, in part, the act of adopting or the state of being adopted, the taking and treating of a stranger as one's own child. There is no greater stranger to the family of God than a member of Satan's family. When we were adopted into the family of God, we were strangers of the strangest sort. When we'll emphasize another part of the definition of adoption, it says the receiving as one's own what is new or not natural. Now, I also tell you tonight, you cannot even consider someone to be adopted into the family if that person is natural to that family. We believe in the doctrine of original sin, which means sin entered in the garden, and as a result of Adam's sin, we are all born sinners. We are sinners by birth. Not long after birth, you come to realize that you are also a sinner by choice. You and I choose sin. There's nothing good in you. There's nothing good in me. And nothing would have ever been good about us had we not been adopted into the family of God. So we're not natural born into the family of God. We are born into this world as unnatural to God's family as we could be. So when we think about God taking us from the family of Satan and placing us into his family, the family of God, it is no small thing. When you are born dead in your sins. You're born with a debt to pay. We are born children of Satan. Mankind has got to get rid of the notion that everyone born of the human race are all God's children. Just because God created you don't mean you're his. There's a whole host of people thinking today and believing that they're in God's family, but they're not. There's only one way to be adopted into the family of God, and that is by His grace and through your faith and the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. That is the only way. If one has not done that, then they're still in the same family they were born into, the family of Satan. This reference to the family of Satan is, and the sins are characterized by 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom? Unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then it says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So Paul tells these believers who they were prior to salvation. But when you look at these things, it reveals the sins that are commonly practiced without regard in Satan's family. Look at this list. We see fornication, we see idolatry, we see adulterers, we see effeminate, we say men dressing like women. Effeminate. We see that more and more and more today. And I tell you what, as society blurs them lines more and more and more and more, the church needs to have more and more and more distinction. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Look that up. That's homosexuality, sodomy, whatever you want to call it. That's what that is, abusers of themselves with mankind. We see thieves, we see covetors, we see drunkards, we see revilers, we see extortioners. This is not a good crowd. It's not a good crowd for those who are in the family of God. This means husbands, when you're out in the world, you got to watch your wife. Ladies, you got to watch your husband when you're out around the devil's crowd. You got to pay attention to your wallets, and that's tragic. You go out around the devil's family, you got to pay attention to your wallet. You got to pay attention to your purse, your phone, your vehicle keys, your kids, your house, everything you got, everything you think you got. When you get up around the devil's family, you got to keep both eyes on your people and your stuff. Amen. Why? Because of what Satan's family does. I hope not, but have you ever been to a family reunion and you say, I can't trust any of them? Chances are that's because they're in Satan's family. And you can't trust Satan's family. His family is wicked. It's an awful family. It's a family that is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church. And at the heart of it, don't think they aren't anti-you. And if you don't think they aren't anti-you, talk about God. Talk about the Bible. Talk about church. Talk about the cross. Let your faith be something that you can't be separated from, even at the dinner table or sitting in the living room, and then see if they still accept you. If most of the people in your family aren't saved by the blood of Christ and on their way to heaven spiritually, they're in a bad family. Look what the Apostle Paul says, Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3. You can turn there if you want. If not, you listen to me. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul tells the church in Ephesus that Satan's family, the family that they used to be a part of, speaks according to the lust of their flesh. They have perverted speech. They fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind. And notice this, by nature, the children of disobedience. By nature, they are transgressors. And the way of the transgressor is hard. By nature, they are destined to a hard life that they bring on themselves. Spurgeon said, and I've quoted it a lot, that it's a rough road a man trods to hell. It's not an easy path that a man takes on his way to hell, or that a woman takes on her way to hell. Now, this is a gruesome glimpse at Satan's family, but it gets worse. And I'll say this before I move on. I know families that, by and large, nearly all of them are lost. Not only are they flesh and blood kin, but they are spiritually kin in the family of Satan. They share the same father in Satan. And the things they've been involved in and known for, we can't even talk about here. It's gone on for generations. Why? Satan's family. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 7. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. We see that in verse 6, the phrase, the children of disobedience. What a family to be a part of. The children of disobedience. It's an unruly family. It's an ungovernable family. It's a family that's so full of pride and set in its own way, they are disobedient. Look what Paul says, Colossians 3, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, more characteristics of Satan's family. We could look at the world pre-flood. Every thought, I can't imagine this, every thought was only evil and evil continually. That's bad. We're not that bad. That is bad. Sodom and Gomorrah. Satan's family is known worldwide, all around, all the way back to the garden to now for their wickedness. Galatians 5 reveals even more of what some of the sins and the behaviors are within the family of Satan in verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Some words keep coming up in different passages. Fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These immoral sins keep coming up, but also the family of Satan is filled with anger. They are filled with wrath, filled with violence, and we could go on and on. But as many of you, if not all of you, can testify to tonight, one day, as you were in the family of Satan, doing what perhaps people in that family do, or maybe you didn't experience the full effect of Satan's family, but still yet a member of a bad family is a member of a bad family. And Jesus showed up and he found you. He knew where you were. He knew what family you were in, but he showed up anyway. I think about the woman at the well. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he was going to be drawing a woman to that well that was in need of him. So he drew her to that well, and then he himself went to Samaria to her at that well. Some of us, if we're honest, we may not like certain families because of what they're known for. But the family of Satan tops them all. It's the family that we used to all be a part of. But praise God that Jesus looked past the family that we were in. Jesus looked past the fact that our father was the devil himself. And he offered to you and I adoption through the sacrifice of his son. I can't imagine what a heart looks like of an individual that is in the family of Satan. We can't see the heart. Only God can. yet the heart of that sinner isn't too dark for Jesus. And when one trusts in Christ, he adopts them. He places them into his family. Just in the passages that we've already looked at, Paul urges the children of God to put off the activities of their former family, to put off the sins of their former family. You know, it is real hard sometimes to walk away from all you know. It's all you knew. You were brought up in it. You were raised in it. Right up in it. It's hard sometimes to walk away from it and hard to break free from it. And Paul's urging these believers, hey, you're not in that family no more, so you don't need to be walking like that family, talking like that family, acting like that family, looking like that family, because that's not your family anymore. Put off those sins, be cleansed, to be forgiven, repent of the sins of the former family, and walk in newness of life according to their new family in Christ. Now, if you've ever seen someone come from one family to another, the change isn't always instantaneously drastic. You know, the adoption of Christ takes literally a few seconds. If you go to adopt a kid, you could be waiting years. The kid oftentimes is already become more blended with the family that they're being adopted into officially before it's even finalized, the adoption. But with Christ, it's through grace. It's by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. It's seconds. But to begin to look like you're in God's family and not in Satan's family, it takes time. When God takes a man, when God takes a woman and saves them, when he adopts them into his family, they'll fight their old family. They'll fight their old ways. They'll always be reminded of their old family every time they're around that family, because they're not in that family anymore. Spiritually, you're in a different family. You live different lives. You have different desires. You talk different now. Your new law is the law of God. You're forsaking the law of your flesh. And I can tell you today that I love my family, all of them. But if they're not saved, then spiritually we are in different families. Amen. Sometimes Christians wonder why they can't get along with maybe their brother or their sister or their mother or their father, or their kids, or their grandkids. Well, I ask you this evening, what family are they in? The devil's people and God's people will never mesh. People say blood's thicker than water. Yes, but the spirit's thicker than blood. You want to have a fallout with your blood family that's in the family of Satan? Then get saved. Become adopted into another family. They'll look at you like you're an alien. They'll look at you like they don't even know you anymore. Why? Because spiritually, you were adopted into another family. And in a lot of ways, although you're still related to them by blood, by birth, by DNA, the spiritual always trumps the flesh. And the spiritual always trumps the natural. So get ready for a divide. Because those in the family of Satan, they have different characteristics. They have different behaviors. They have different mannerisms. And ultimately, they're going in different directions. If you're led of God by the Spirit, and you're following after the Spirit, and you're following after the Word, and they are not, how can you not end up in different places? Can two walk together, lest they be agreed? You're going in different directions. Let's look at the family of God in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Just reading this right here about the fruits of the Spirit, it's complete contrast. Complete contrast, night and day difference. This is already a much better family. There's love here. There's not hatred. There's love here. There isn't murder. There's love here. There isn't abuse. Love in not taking advantage of each other. Love in not using each other. Love in that we use words to edify one another and we don't use our words to tear one another down. Love in that we consider others and that we esteem others better than ourselves. Love's not me first. Love is God first, others second, and you last. But here's the thing. When you trust God with that order, He places you first. People say, why I always got to put myself last? Because in order for God to put you first, that's the way it goes. I take care of others. God takes care of me. Who gets the better end of that deal? Those that put others first, because God takes care of us. Now, I tell you, I love y'all to death, but I'd rather God take care of me than any of y'all. So I take care of y'all. And the Lord take care of me. And then y'all take care of me. And the Lord's going to take care of y'all. And you know what's going to happen? When y'all can't be there for me, the Lord will be there for you. And when you can't be there for me, the Lord's going to be there for me. It goes all around. This is God's family. Joy. We see joy, not anger, rage, depression, anxiety, stress. God's family has peace. Not frustration and bitterness and resentment, lack of forgiveness. We see long suffering. Not short-suffering, not short-tempered, not easily irritated by others. One time we were at a family reunion on Sarah's side of the family. Over 100 people, 150 people there, maybe 200 people. No fighting. And I remember leaving from that, and I was thinking, this is interesting. You got that many people together, nobody fought. Family. Nobody was fighting. Some families, they can't even get five of them together for the fighting that will happen. Or they don't want to see or speak to each other over fighting that took place in the past. I tell you, we looked at Satan's family. I can already share a table easily with someone in the family of God. But in God's family, it keeps getting better. Gentleness. This isn't brute. It's not brash. It's not harsh. It's gentleness. It's not rudeness in manners. How many times does something said that shouldn't have been said in a way that it shouldn't have been said just erupts everything? And then you have people taking sides. And then before you know it, what started with two people now involves 10 people. Goodness. In the family of God, we should just be good to people. Not to mistreat them. Not hurt them. We think of faith. The conversation within God's family should be one of faith. You should be able to sit down with those in God's family and have your faith increased by talking about the things of God. Stirred to greater faith. Shouldn't be a defeatist mentality like in the family of Satan. Sometimes I just like reminding people that the Lord's got it all. When you get done, I'll just gently remind you that the Lord is still on the throne and He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. Even if you don't like who's in office, we went through that before about that. So even if it's some, you might be happy now, but you might not be happy next time. What's the Bible say? The Lord raises them up. And I told y'all before, God decides who he uses. You might not would have voted for him, but the Lord's going to advance his plan. He's going to advance his plan for mankind. And ultimately, things have to get bad, real bad, before they get real good. When Jesus returns, it's going to have to get real bad first. Man. Jesus needed the mob. God the Father needed the mob on that day. When Jesus was crucified, he needed the mob. And before his son returns, there's going to be a real big, 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 big mob. Unlike we've ever seen. But the Lord's going to use it. Our Lord God in heaven is going to use it to usher in the return of his son. We shouldn't have a defeatist mentality in the family of God. It's not everybody's out to get me, poor me, woe's me, God's forgotten me, does not love me, does not care for me. God's family should be one of great faith in God. Meekness. Again, not being ready to fight, ready to throw down. I loved it when I began to spend time with God's family again after the Marines. It seemed in the world, everyone in Satan's family seemed like, and I know it wasn't everybody, but when you're saturated in the world and in the world system, you just throw that word everyone around quite a bit. But it seemed like everybody wanted to fight, or they wanted to hurt others. They wanted to step on your head so they could get a promotion. They want to steal something from you, cuss you out. But I was happy to find hugs in the family of God, handshakes in the family of God, not physical violence in the family of God. We also think of temperance in the family of God. And by the way, I've said this before, temperance is a King James Bible word. You look in these modern translations, they do not use temperance, they use self-control. The King James Bible word for that is temperance, which is interpreted spirit control. So in the family of God, the whole family should not be under self-control, because self-control only take you so far. There's something about yourself, everybody in here tonight, that you cannot control. It might even be something internal that nobody else can see, but you can't do nothing with it. You've tried and tried and tried and tried, and you can't control it, which means it's got to be outside of you, which means it's going to take spirit control, not self-control. We got to believe the Bible. I hate that term, self-control. And I don't throw the word hate around very often, but I hate the word self-control because it only gets you so far. It don't get you all the way. It will not get you all the way. It'll get you somewhere, but it won't get you all the way. Self-control's in two-wheel drive in a mud hole up halfway your windows. The whole family should be under spirit control. As we're in Satan's family, they're under Satan's control. What an amazing thing that Jesus done when he adopted us. He took us from that family. That family of Satan, where Satan was our father. And he took us into his family through adoption. And now he is our father. And spiritually speaking, the devil can never have you back into his family. Many times believers will backslide. My hands up, I did it. Believers will go back around Satan's family sometimes. They'll spend time sometimes with their old family. They may reject spending time with their new family and start finding themselves engaging back with their old life. But if God held the power to adopt them to begin with, he holds the power to bring them back home, to be with their real family, the family that loves them as Christ does. So just simple things tonight about adoption. Could have spent a whole bunch of time on this, and really we just kind of contrasted the two families. You know, life isn't easy. It's not. But I tell you what, we got a whole lot more to be thankful for and grateful of, because tonight we sit here on a Sunday night in God's family. Amen. Not out there in Satan's family. We're in here in God's house, in God's family. And I pray that we value that and never lose sight of it. And when you walk past people out and about, just be reminded they don't have what we have. And some of them you'll talk to and they'll want nothing to do with it. Sometimes that happens. Maybe, never know. Maybe one day they will. Maybe one day they won't. I don't know. Some people's told God no too many times, and he's given them over to a reprobate mind. And I believe once God's given you over, he's given you over. There ain't no crossing back over that line. When that's it, it's it. It's over with. And sometimes, I hate to say it, because I'm all for evangelism, but sometimes we're giving out tracts to reprobates. We don't know. We don't know. Only God does. That's his business, not mine. I'm going to try to tell everybody best I can. It's not my business. It's God's business. But all I know is that this world is getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And when the deeds get more and more and more and more evil, you start wondering what kind of person could really be doing that. What kind of person could really be going to them places, getting involved in those kinds of lifestyles. And it's growing. I've said many, many a times, I don't know if I have here, but a lot of what's going on in America is an invasion of the spiritual sort. Amen. It is. Sometimes we get worried about, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I am more worried about the false gods that these people are bringing into our country than I am their language, yes, their culture, their food. Some of them got real good food. Bring the food with you. Bring the recipes. But leave Allah over there. See, I would not get voted in as president because everybody'd have to write down who their God was. And if it wasn't Jehovah God, you ain't coming in. Not for citizenship. I'd never get voted in office. I'd have the strictest immigration policy in American history. It'd be built off the Bible. Yes. I'm all for the Constitution, but this Bible is more strict than that. Yeah. I'd get 30 votes from Emmanuel Baptist Church. But again, the Lord knows what he's doing. Just trust him. Just trust him. Just follow him. He's still on the throne. He's still leading, still guiding. And we just got to submit. We got to surrender to his will and his plan and stay out of his way. Sometimes we mess with God and his business too much. But we need to just stay out of the way and just trust him. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you.